Someone stabs someone with a knife, having watched a video on whatever platform it is, the executives of that platform should be held partially responsible. I don't know how you do that. I'm not saying put them in prison for 10 years.
I agree
but there have to be consequences.
Well, I agree with you. But again, the corporate leaders that are behind the companies that promote this music are going to be very difficult to hold to account.
Yes, but we've tried asking them. We've tried demanding. We've tried pleading. We've tried cajoling. They are not acting. They are not doing enough to stop this stuff. And you're right. It's being, as you say, Robert, you work in this area. It's being seen by millions of people. It's time to start holding these platforms seriously accountable for the harm and the death in too many cases that is arising because of what they are profiting from. Robert, we're out of time for that conversation. Really great call to wrap us up. Thank you very, very much indeed. Robert, who works with young people in Streatham, South London. Ben Kentish here on LBC. 5 o'clock the time. Here are the headlines.
Can you trust him with your future? Can you trust him with your jobs?
So Keir Starmer attacks Nigel Farage's spending plans, calling them a mad experiment.
The youngest one for me was 9. He said to me that he'd carry a knife to protect himself.
LBC reveals that 12 pupils are discovered with knives every single day at schools in the UK.
The 53-year-old man they arrested at the scene is still in police custody.
Police confirmed that a 9-year-old was the youngest person injured when a car was driven into crowds in Liverpool, and
businesses are just not going to understand what tariff they would pay for goods entering the US.
President Trump says he was appealed a US court's decision that he exceeded his authority when he opposed sweeping global tariffs. After the news, is it time to start calling Donald Trump a dictator?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 5 o'clock, detectives investigating a crash at Liverpool's Premier League title parade have released more details about the victims. A 53-year-old is still being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving. LBC's Liam Gotting has seen a statement from Merseyside Police.
7 people remain in hospital after what happened on Monday night, but the good news is that they are all recovering well in hospital, according to Merseyside Police, who say that the youngest victim injured in the Liverpool parade crash is 9 years old and that the oldest person injured is a 78-year-old. They also added that all of the 79 people injured in the collision are understood to be British.
US stocks have opened up after a court in New York blocked many of Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs. 3 judges ruled that the US president overstepped his authority when he used an emergency law to impose the taxes. The White House says it will appeal. School children say they believe social media may be partly responsible for a rise in pupils taking knives into the classroom. Figures seen by LBC show there were 2,300 such cases in the last full school year, up 60% in 2 years. That amounts to 12 pupils being found with knives every day across the UK. It's estimated almost 2.5 million people in England are likely to have ADHD, with a fifth of these waiting for a diagnosis. NHS England has revealed how common it believes the attention deficit disorder is for the first time. Around 740,000 cases are believed to be children. And the Shadow Justice Secretary has told LBC he believes he was justified in breaking Transport for London rules to highlight fare dodging. Conservative Robert Jenrick admitted he didn't get permission to film on TfL property.
Well, I was fed up and I felt that ordinary people who were paying for their tube, doing the right thing, were made to look silly by these people who were flagrantly breaching the rules and nothing was happening about it.
TfL says it's doing more to deter and detect fare evaders, saying it's not acceptable. You can hear the full interview with Ben Kentish on LBC next. In the city, the FTSE 100 has closed down 9 points at 87.16. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.18. LBC weather, patchy rain in central Scotland, North England and Wales tonight. Mostly dry elsewhere and breezy in the south, a low of 4. Patchy rain lingering in northern Wales and central and North England tomorrow. A few showers developing in south and east Scotland and Northern Ireland. Mainly dry and partly cloudy elsewhere, highs of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ben Kentish.
Sure, and you're listening to Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. A very, very good afternoon indeed if you're just joining me here on the programme. I want to talk about Donald Trump between now and 6 o'clock. A man who, whatever you think of him, I think we can probably all agree, is unlike any other US president in history. That much, for all sorts of reasons, I would say is pretty indisputable. But a series of events over the last few weeks, I put to you, have raised questions, legitimate questions, about whether the man currently in power, currently the current incumbent of the Oval Office in the White House, could also and should also be considered as the first dictator in US history. Because Donald Trump, I suggest, is not behaving like a Democrat. Not the Democrat Party, he's certainly not behaving like them, but by like somebody who actually believes in the fundamentals of democracy and is willing to follow the norms and the rules that come with democracy. Let me just give you a few examples of what Donald Trump has been up to in his first 3 months in office. There's the ongoing talk about tearing up the Constitution in order to run for an unprecedented third term. There's the flagrant flouting of a Supreme Court order to bring back a man that the Trump administration unlawfully deported to El Salvador. He's massively expanded his own executive powers while arresting judges. He's sacking government employees who have ever tried to criticise or stand up to him. He's gone to war with leading academic institutions like Harvard University. He's trying to defund parts of the media whose coverage he doesn't like. Journalists who take issue, or journalists who he takes issue with, have been banned from the White House. And students have been arrested and locked up simply for saying the wrong thing on social media. Two stories in the last 2 days alone that I just think really raise this question now. Is Donald Trump truly a Democrat? Or does he increasingly resemble a dictator? The first, the news yesterday, that the Trump administration has paused interviews for foreign students wanting to come and study in the United States. Why? Because it wants to do more intense vetting of what they have or haven't said on social media in the past. Because presumably if there's anything that a potential student has said that the Trump team doesn't like, they will be barred entry and won't be able to study at their university of choice. Then this morning news that once again the US courts have intervened to block something that Donald Trump is trying to do. This case, it's the implementation of sweeping global tariffs. Three judges at the US Trade Court in New York ruling that Donald Trump, in introducing those tariffs, exceeded his own authority. If it sounds a bit like a dictator, it acts a bit like a dictator, and it behaves quite a lot like a dictator, is it time to start calling Donald Trump a dictator? Or do you think that is taking it too far? That yes, he is pushing the boundaries, that yes, he is challenging some of the laws and the norms and the rules that govern any democratic country, but come on, a dictator's taking it far too far. Or given what we've seen already, is that exactly what Donald Trump increasingly resembles? Is Donald Trump America's first ever dictator? Call me this afternoon, 0345 6060 973, the number to call. You can WhatsApp the same number or text 84850. Let's talk to Ender Curran more about this, global economy reporter at Bloomberg. Good to have you with us, Ender. Just tell us a little bit more, if you would, about what those judges have ruled and why they have ruled against Donald Trump. Afternoon.
Ben, thank you so much for having me. This is a very significant ruling against President Trump's trade agenda. As you know well, he's put at the centre of his agenda this idea that he's going to raise tariffs on imports from around the world in order to make it more fairer for the US to do business with everybody else. Now, the judges last night have said the centrepiece of those tariffs imposed over the past few months, around 30% of tariffs on goods from China, some tariffs on goods from Canada and Mexico, for example, it's not correct that he used emergency economic legislation to impose those tariffs. So therefore, those tariffs are, a block has been put on them. Now, that is a setback for President Trump's tariff agenda, number one. And number two, then it raises questions about where the agenda will go from here. Will the president obviously appeal this, which he will go through the courts? He may or may not win that. And if he does win or not win that, then does he use other channels to impose tariffs on goods from other countries around the world? And he does have options open to him. So right here, right now, it's a big setback for his trade agenda, which is very hawkish, But the question is where it goes in the coming weeks and months ahead.
And it's far from the first time that a court has intervened. I mean, the Supreme Court intervened recently in relation to something that the Trump administration has done. The response from the White House, really quite interesting, I think, Ender, because they've come out and said very clearly, not only will they appeal this, but their position is that it is not for unelected judges to tell the president what he can or can't do, which in a democracy, I would suggest, is exactly the rule of unelected judges, if you agree with the idea of the rule of law.
Well, there's clearly tension between the White House, as you say, Ben, and the judiciary, no doubt about it. They've brushed up against each other on some of the signature parts of the Trump administration's policies, be it on deportation, for example, or be it on the job cuts in the public sector, or of course now on trade. And the White House officials this morning, including Peter Navarro, are making the point that they have the authority to push through these tariffs because they make the point there is an emergency around fentanyl, for example, and the drug overdose deaths linked with that. They say there is an economic emergency linked to the crossing of migrants across the southern border, and therefore they're allowed to use tariffs for that. And they say that the big trade deficit the US has is also an economic emergency. So they say they do have the authority and the moral right to impose tariffs on these measures. Of course, the judiciary is saying, no, you're not supposed to be using these emergency economic laws to do that. That's where the tension is. And now, of course, it's going to go to a federal court, to the next court in this chain, and we'll have to see what they say on that.
And thank you very much indeed, Ender Curran, global economy reporter at Bloomberg. Is that not quite a chilling statement from the Trump White House? It is not the role of unelected judges to tell the president what he can do in a state of emergency. That is the rule of law that the White House seems to have an issue with. Of course it's the role of judges to tell the president if they believe he's acting unlawfully. And yet the White House doesn't seem to agree. Harry Fordwich joins us, president of Strelmark, a global business development consultancy firm. Harry, great to have you with us. Is Donald Trump America's first ever dictator? Afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Ben. Actually, the question is, he's trying to do something for the greatest amount of deaths, even greater than the Vietnam War. More Americans have been killed by fentanyl than even in the Vietnam War, Ben. So my question to those judges, those, yes, unelected judges. So President Trump was elected by well over 70 million Americans. So over 70 million Americans are concerned about deaths. I'm really glad about that. But those judges, what do they consider an emergency? What on earth, Ben, would be an emergency if that many deaths isn't an emergency to them? That is the question. It's this ruling from 1977, the Emergency Powers Act. This is a national emergency with regard to deaths with the fentanyl that is coming in from China. And I absolutely am shocked that those judges don't care about that many people dying.
It's not that case alone, Hillary, is it? There are multiple cases now of various judges, including those of Republican persuasions, finding that quite a lot of what Donald Trump is doing and his administration is doing is unlawful.
Well, with regard to, you mentioned earlier about the man that's down in El Salvador
yes.
now, and I loved it where you had the liberal media calling him the Maryland man. He came here illegally to the United States. If you have come in illegally to the United States, why are you protected by any American laws? And I will tell you that I reside in Maryland, and our Maryland Senator, Chris Van Hollen, flew down there. Basically, so as a taxpayer, I'm paying the airfare for a government official who's flying to another country for somebody that came to this country illegally. Why doesn't he care about all the law-abiding citizens?
Well, hold on.
Like
so people who enter a country illegally lose all their rights?
Well, why do they come here illegally? If somebody comes illegally and illegally to the UK...
So illegal migrants have no rights in Donald Trump's America?
He beat up his wife. His wife actually was the one who was saying...
But Hillary, the Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump's administration had acted unlawfully in deporting that man, and the Trump administration basically said, we're going to ignore the Supreme Court ruling. That is not abiding by the rule of law, is it? That is the actions of a dictator. Those are the actions of it. That's how dictators behave. They say, well, the court says one thing, but I don't like it, so I'm not listening.
Well, he's actually standing up to the deep state, Ben. This has
happened in the deep state, the judiciary. Yeah. We're talking about the Supreme Court of the United States, whose judges were predominantly appointed by Donald Trump. How on earth is that the deep state?
Well, the question, Ben, is, are we a country of laws or not? So if you want to start with law, let's start with law. People that have come in illegally have broken the law.
But I'm talking about whether the incumbent president of the United States should or shouldn't abide by Supreme Court rulings.
Yeah, absolutely the law. So people that come in illegally waive their right to any laws. They should not come in here.
That's a simple question. Should the president of the United States abide by the rulings of the Supreme Court?
Absolutely, the law, when they've come in illegally, they've broken the law.
That's not what I'm asking. Should the president of the United States abide by whatever the Supreme Court rules, as every other U.S. president in history has done, pretty much?
Well, the Supreme Court should abide by the law, shouldn't they? So people should come in legally. Otherwise, what's the point of having any
law? The Supreme Court is the arbiter of the law. It's not the president. It's not the politicians. It's not the executive.
You just used the right word there, arbiter. So what they're saying now, the Supreme Court has determined they're not going to actually rule by the law because these people have come in illegally.
But the Supreme Court upholds the law. It tells the president whether he is or is not behaving lawfully. And if it tells the president he isn't, then that should prompt him to change tack, shouldn't it? That's the rule of law.
Well, yeah, and then that means that all laws should be thrown out because everybody could come here illegally and nothing matters. Because they rule with the illegals. So the actual word is illegal,
so
not the law.
So basically, if the president doesn't like the Supreme Court's ruling, he is completely free and should be free to flout them.
Well, no, you just said arbitrary. They've acted.
No, I said arbiter. I said arbiter.
Yes, arbiter, right?
That's a very different word to arbitrary. Arbiter meaning they determine what is or isn't legal. And in this case, determine that Donald Trump's behaviour and actions weren't, or his administration at least weren't.
No, you're totally right. They determined what was or wasn't legal. And they're now saying that illegal is legal. That's what they've determined. This man that was here illegally, they're saying that you should apply laws that are legal to an illegal.
Why is Donald Trump arresting judges, Hillary?
Well, because you can see what some of the judges have done. They actually have not stuck to the law.
Right, so he's arresting judges. He's arrested college students whose posts on social media he doesn't like. He's trying to defund Harvard University.
Who have been burning American flags and have come to this country. By the way, so let's just talk about you mentioned only the universities. You mentioned Harvard.
Yep.
So we, as the taxpayer, as an American taxpayer, so this would be the same in the UK, if the UK taxpayer, imagine if a UK taxpayer was spending, your average guy, the average man or woman, your average taxpayer was spending millions, if not billions, subsidizing Oxford, Cambridge. And then you have people coming to those schools who actually burnt a Union Jack and actually detested the UK.
So you defund the whole university.
Your average American is literally subsidizing and paying for them to come. And what President Trump is saying is, no, if you hate America...
Isn't the reality, Hillary, that what Donald Trump is doing is systematically undermining and eroding every single US institution and part of the Constitution that might be designed to limit his power? Isn't that what we're witnessing?
Well, you're actually seeing all those institutions that you just referred to, Ben, that are supporting un-American activities. He's about America first. And if you think, or anybody thinks, it's okay to detest America, take American taxpayers' money, come to this country, and then burn American flags.
So
that's what
one man and one man's agenda comes above the universities, the courts,
over 17
the judges, the media, the academic freedom, the Constitution.
Over 70 million Americans voted for him, Ben, and we all think...
That doesn't mean the rule of law just ceases to matter.
But actually, the rule of law has been used to support things that are very, very un-American, like opening the border.
Okay.
Why did we fight the Second World War? Why did we fight the Vietnam War? Why fight any wars? If, like the UK, you're just going to say anyone can come in, this should be a country of laws, which starts with people coming in legally and not subsidizing.
All right, but a lot of those wars were fought in the name of preserving and spreading democracy and liberalism, which I would put, a lot of people would say is now at threat. And under threat and under attack in the United States. Hillary, thank you for your time. Interesting conversation. Hillary Fordwich, president of Strelmark, a global business development consultancy firm. Is Hillary right? Is Donald Trump just taking on the deep state, or is he behaving exactly like dictators through history have behaved? 0345 6060 973 is the number. Your calls on that to come after the news headlines. Amelia Cox.
Merseyside police has revealed the youngest victim in a crash at Monday's Premier League title parade in Liverpool was 9 years old. US stock markets have opened up after a court blocked Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs yesterday. And the Shadow Justice Secretary, Robert Jenrick, has defended breaking TfL laws by filming without permission to highlight fare dodging. LBC weather, patchy rain in central Scotland, North England and Wales tonight. Mostly dry elsewhere and breezy in the south, a low of 4 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Chawner. Starting on the M25, moving clockwise, long delays at junction 14 for Heathrow. That's because of a car that broke down earlier on. While on the M25 going anti-clockwise, there's delays heading into the Dartford tunnels, adding roughly 35 minutes onto your journey. Nearby in Greenwich, on the Blackwall Tunnel approach, there's queues on the northbound side at the Woolwich Road flyover. That's because of a lorry that broke down earlier on today. And in Surbiton, the A3 is blocked on the southbound side from the Hook Junction to Oxshott because of an accident and is causing queues. Finally, in Brentwood, it's slow moving on the A12 in both directions at Junction 28 for the Brook Street roundabout. That's because of the roadworks that are in operation nearby.
This is LBC.
Samantha!
Reward yourself. Get £4 2D tickets at Cineworld when you book online using club card vouchers and visit between 27th of May and the 8th of June, celebrating 30 years of rewards with Tesco Club Card. Prices for standard 2D ticket, T's and C's apply. See tesco.com/cineworld.
Call Ben Kentish, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
Amazon offers employees up to £8,000 for education and training, like Juliet. She's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £8,000 for education and training at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £200 per couple with MyJet 2. So escape to sunny favourites like Gran Canaria, Crete and Costa Blanca. And get 22 kilograms of baggage included. Book summer now from London Luton Airport with just a £60 deposit per person. Jet 2 holidays. Package holidays you can trust. After National Protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
Getting ready for summer? It's time to scrub the barbecue, mow the lawn and dust off the wine glasses. At Waitrose, we're getting ready with 25% off six or more bottles of wine or fizz over £6. Like a fruity San Leo Prosecco, perfect with aged Parma ham. Or a crisp Whispering Angel Rosé, ideal for your first barbecue. And our number one Chablis, the aromas of fresh peach pair beautifully with a seafood salad. Start the summer with some great savings at Waitrose. Selected stores online, subject to availability. Exclude Scotland, boxed wines and bottles priced £100 and over.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
Come to your calls on Donald Trump in just a moment. First, so let's go live to Liverpool, where Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims and Mersey Cheshire's Chief Crown Prosecutor Sarah Hammond are giving a press conference.
This is following a complex and ongoing investigation into an incident in Water Street, Liverpool, on Monday the 26th of May 2025. The defendant will appear before Liverpool Magistrates Court on Friday the 30th of May 2025. The investigation is at an early stage. Prosecutors and police are continuing to work at pace to review a huge volume of evidence. This includes multiple pieces of video footage and numerous witness statements. It is important to ensure that every victim gets the justice they deserve. The charges will be kept under review as the investigation progresses. We know that Monday's shocking scenes reverberated around the city of Liverpool and the entire country on what should have been a day of celebration for hundreds of thousands of Liverpool FC supporters. Our thoughts remain with all of those affected. Criminal proceedings against the defendant are active and he has the right to a fair trial. It is extremely important that there should be no reporting, commentary, or sharing of information or media online which could in any way prejudice these proceedings. Please allow the legal process to take its course without undue speculation. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims from Merseyside Police. I want to provide an update to you all during what has been a very challenging week. As always, our thoughts remain with all of those injured and affected by this appalling incident, which took place during the Liverpool Football Club parade on Monday. As you have heard from our CPS colleagues, the man arrested by Merseyside Police following the incident on Water Street has now been charged with 7 serious offences. Paul Desmond Sanders Doyle, 53 years, of Burghill Road, West Derby, has this afternoon been charged with 2 counts of unlawful and malicious wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm, 2 counts of causing unlawful and malicious grievous bodily harm with intent to cause grievous bodily harm, 2 counts of attempted unlawful and malicious grievous bodily harm with intent to cause grievous bodily harm, all contrary to Section 18 of the Offences Against the Person Act 1861. He has also been charged with 1 count of dangerous driving, contrary to Section 2 of the Road Traffic Act 1988. Doyle has been remanded into custody, and he will appear at Liverpool Magistrates Court in the morning. I fully understand how this incident has left us all shocked and saddened, and I know many will continue to have concerns and questions. Our detectives are working tirelessly with diligence and professionalism to seek the answer to all of those questions. When we are able to, we will provide further information. Merseyside Police is determined to gather as much evidence as possible to ensure that every avenue is explored. Now that Paul Doyle has been charged, we ask that the judicial process be allowed to continue without any speculation online or anywhere else that could impede the pursuit of justice for all of those affected. A total of 79 people were injured. We continue to be in contact with our officers and staff, and 7 people remain in hospital, receiving the expert care of our NHS colleagues. I hope that all of those who were injured or witnessed in this terrible incident are able, given time, to heal and recover. This continues to be a large and complex investigation, and detectives are reviewing a huge volume of CCTV and mobile phone footage submitted by the public and businesses, as well as footage from our own body-worn cameras and dash cams. I'm extremely grateful for the ongoing cooperation of the public, who have and continue to share their footage and witness accounts with detectives. Their input is vital to our ongoing inquiries. I would encourage anyone who has not yet contacted the police, who may have relevant information, to please come forward and contact us. Information, including video footage, can be passed to us via the Major Incident Police portal, details of which are available on our Merseyside Police website. As always, our thoughts remain with victims and everyone impacted.
We'll leave that press conference there. Confirmation from Merseyside Police that 53-year-old Paul Doyle from West Derby in Liverpool has been charged with dangerous driving, causing grievous bodily harm with intent, wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm, and attempting to cause grievous bodily harm with intent. That in relation to the incidents at the Liverpool Trophy Parade on Monday. Paul Doyle this afternoon charged with those offences. More on that, of course, as it develops through the evening here on LBC. For now, 5:27 is the time. Let's get an LBC business update from Ben Kumar from Seven Investment Management. Ben, very good afternoon to you. We're talking about Donald Trump this hour. How have the markets responded to that ruling on Donald Trump's tariffs?
Well, I mean, markets are, depending on where you look around the world, up a little bit. But really, you know, this is just another element of uncertainty. And I guess the way to think about it is like this. If you had a big shipment going from China to the US at the moment, What do you, you know, what are you hoping for? Are you hoping the ruling stays? Are you hoping that Trump doesn't come out and, you know, do something even bigger? Are you hoping for complete, you know, do you want a 3-month trial in the Supreme Court? It's another element that just makes the whole idea of doing global business more uncertain. A tariff's going to be 145% when you land your goods, or are they going to be 30%, or are they going to be zero? It probably means no change for businesses who are already on pause. And it probably gives anyone who's not decided to, you know, give it a second before things level out to pause as well.
Ben, thank you very much indeed. Ben Kumar, as always, Seven is from Seven Investment Management. Another Ben, me, Ben Kentish, for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. Still to come.
Billions upon billions of completely unfunded spending. It's Liz Truss all over again.
In a speech attacking Nigel Farage today, Sir Keir Starmer says Reform UK's policies would crash the economy and also accuses Farage of poisoning our politics. We'll speak to the Chief Secretary to the Treasury next. News headlines first. 5:30 is the time. Amelia Cox.
53-year-old Paul Doyle has been charged over a collision at Liverpool's Premier League title parade on Monday. He's accused of dangerous driving, causing grievous bodily harm with intent and wounding with intent after 79 people were injured. Police searching for a teenage girl who fell into a reservoir in West Yorkshire have recovered a body. Specialist teams were drafted in following reports the girl fell from a dam near Rippendon yesterday. And the Shadow Justice Secretary says he was justified in breaking Transport for London rules to highlight fare dodgers. Robert Jenrick has admitted to LBC he didn't have permission to film on TfL property, but says he wants the issue to be taken more seriously. LBC weather, patchy rain in central Scotland, North England and Wales tonight. Mostly dry elsewhere and breezy in the south, a low of 4 degrees.
LBC, this morning, on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Here's the tale of the tape. In the blue corner, you have a fairly burly 51-year-old police officer, Stephen Smith, who has a pepper spray and extendable nightstick. With him is the 36-year-old police officer, Rachel Camato, who has a taser. Both of them have stab vests. In the other, you have a 92-year-old man in a wheelchair with one leg and a 4-inch butter knife. I warn you, this is distressing.
Donald, put it down!
Taser, taser!
This is a day of utter shame for the police. The fact that they were cleared at Southwark Crown Court I find truly extraordinary, but they will now face disciplinary proceedings. It can only hope that they're both booted out.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Discover outlet shopping at the O2 this spring. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 designer brands, including Nike, Adidas, Levi's, Kate Spade, The Cosmetics Company Store, Le Creuset, and more. And with over 30 bars and restaurants, a cinema, bowling, climbing, interactive football, mini golf, paddle tennis, and indoor skydiving, why not stay for the day? Visit us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 and plan your trip today.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
At Wickes, save on Dulux Standard 2.5-litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Paul Abrahams, Principal Cosmetic Dentist at Smarmore Dental Care St John's Wood. I refer my implant patients to Darwin and Tanner and consider them to be an extension of my fabulous team. I trust the team at Darwin and Tanner to help me give my patients the smile they've always wanted.
A team of dental experts second to none. Armed with the very latest in dental implant knowledge, technology, and techniques. Visit darwoodandtanner.co.uk.
Ben Kentish. British on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 5:33. It really is something when supporters of Donald Trump are unable to answer a question like, should the US president abide by the rulings of the Supreme Court? And at the same time as we have Trump's deputy chief of staff today accusing a court in New York of staging a judicial coup. What's prompted that allegation? That court, that panel of three judges, saying that Donald Trump acted unlawfully, that he exceeded his own authority when he levied massive tariffs on goods coming from all sorts of countries on so-called Liberation Day. Is Donald Trump a dictator? Or is he just behaving increasingly like one? 0345 6060 973. Let's talk to Tyler this afternoon in Leeds. Is he a dictator, Tyler? Is that going too far?
Mr. Kentish. It's hard to say. I'm not a legal expert, but it doesn't seem that he's a very liberal president. He seems quite a liberal and quite authoritarian. Now, a lot of people say that Donald Trump is a dictator and can point to numerous, obviously, things with the erosion of institutions, arresting judges, protesters against things happening abroad, etc. But it has to be put into context of American presidents. Now, every single American president, going back to at least before Roosevelt, can be, you know, you can say that they have done slightly unconstitutional things, have tried to go around the legal system in America, they've tried to subvert the Constitution.
Like what?
The Iran-Contra affair with George Bush and Reagan, obviously the Iraq War and some of the Abu Ghraib torture things that George Bush did, the drone strikes with Obama. I know it's a terrible list. And then obviously the events in the Middle East with Joe Biden. So
but
I can't think
of a president basically saying, yes, the Supreme Court, or an administration saying, yes, the Supreme Court has ruled this, but we are basically going to ignore it. I can't remember that happening, Tyler.
And that's the big change, because obviously America is a constitutional system. And, you know, that they're not like us. They have like a three-pronged government, the legislature, the judiciary, and the executive. Normally in the past when presidents have tried to do things that are unconstitutional, gone around the judges, they've always stopped because of the obviously the American people are very proud of their constitution, their protections, so they've backed off because of that. But obviously because Donald Trump is made of different stuff, you know, he's a native New Yorker, I think people are letting him do those things, and Donald Trump won't stop because of ideas of duty or the constitution things. But I wanted to very quickly say as well about the judge's decision on the tariffs. Yep. I think it's going to be quite good for the global economy, just because reducing tariffs is good for global trade. But it will affect, I think, the Donald Trump administration's economic plan, which was to increase tariffs to devalue the dollar, which would then make it easier for exporters in America to export and then encourage factories to come back. So I think there's going to be, and that's why we're seeing such blowback from a lot of Donald Trump supporters, as your last person spoke to sort of suggested.
Tyler, appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. Tyler in Leeds saying authoritarian, illiberal, dictators a bit too far. Do you agree? 0345 6060 973. Back to your thoughts on that in a couple of minutes' time. First, Keir Starmer giving a really curious and quite interesting press conference and speech this morning, very much focused on attacking Nigel Farage. This just 2 days after Nigel Farage gave a speech at a press conference, very clearly directed at attacking Labour. What's going on here? Let's talk about all of that and more with Darren Jones, Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Labour MP for Bristol North West. Welcome, Mr. Jones. Great to have you with us here on the programme this afternoon. Why is Keir Starmer travelling all the way to the North West just to have a rant about Nigel Farage? What was the point of that?
Well, good to be with you. The Prime Minister was travelling today to meet with workers and businesses who are benefiting from the actions this Labour government's taking to create great jobs and livelihoods for people in every part of the country. But he gave a speech about Nigel Farage and reform, because they came out with this totally outlandish announcement a few days ago where they had promised to spend up to £80 billion without setting out how they were going to raise £1 to pay for it. And the reason that's important is because we've all just lived through the consequences of that type of behaviour when Liz Truss was leader of the Conservative Party and Prime Minister, and lots of us are still suffering the consequence of that with our higher mortgage or rent payments or loan payments, because there is a direct implication between the behaviour of politicians making unfunded spending commitments and family finances. So it's right that the Prime Minister called that out. It's a risk to people's livelihoods. It's a risk to the country. And if any politician or political party wants to be taken seriously, they should act like it.
If I put it to you politely and respectfully, that this was about fear, this is about Labour being worried and fearful of Nigel Farage. You've seen the polls, you saw the local election results. You're panicked that reform is coming for your votes, Mr. Jones.
No, we're not panicked at all. I mean, if the Conservative Party said this, or the Green Party, or anyone else, we would have said exactly the same thing. It's important that there is political debate. And when other parties are making these types of suggestions to the country, it's right that we...
You're not worried about the threat that Nigel Farage poses to Labour come the next election?
No, no, I'm very confident that we'll be able to show the country the difference the Labour government can make.
Because he's quite a long way ahead of you in the polls. So it'd be slightly weird if you weren't concerned, would it not?
No, because we're starting to see the mask slip, aren't we? I mean, this is the point the Prime Minister is making today. This is the first time, really, that Nigel Farage and Reform have even attempted to say anything about policy. I mean, they do a lot of kind of headlines and kind of fireworks at conferences and things. But now they're actually trying to be taken seriously and talking about policy. But they can't do it because they promised this £80 billion worth of spending commitments without knowing how to pay for it. Now, that's a fundamental problem for any party that wants to be taken seriously as a party in British politics. And that's a risk for people. And I think the British public will see it for what it is.
But do you not worry that people, including your people, Labour members, Labour voters, will look at Nigel Farage coming out and saying a Reform government would do things like lifting the two-child benefit cap, in doing so taking a quarter of a million children out of poverty overnight. He's saying that. You're then coming on to criticise him for doing it. And quite a lot of your own people, including quite a lot of your own MPs, if I may say so, think he's got the right policy on this and you haven't.
Well, look, all of our policies, whether it's on child poverty or breakfast clubs or childcare or whatever it might be, we set out in a proper and orderly way that's fully costed and fully funded because we're the party of government. We've got to deliver these real outcomes to people across the country.
But he's got a clearer policy right now on solving child poverty than you do.
Because a clear policy requires you to set out how you're going to pay for it. I could promise everybody a Ferrari, but if I can't set out how I'm going to pay for it, it's not believable.
But that he's saying what he would do, just not how he would. And I take your point.
But he has to say how.
About the funding, but he's gone further in saying what he would do on child poverty than a Labour government. And you'll know very well, a lot of your MPs, a lot of people in your party, think you should have gone a lot further, a lot quicker than you have on that issue.
Well, look, we've got our Child Poverty Task Force, which is reporting
in
the autumn.
He's announced your policy and you're setting up task force, respectfully.
Well, again, he could go around the country offering everybody a free house and three holidays a year, but none of it is believable unless you can set out how you're going to pay for it and how you're going to deliver it. And quite frankly, if you're genuinely committed to helping children and families get out of poverty, you should give them the respect of telling them how you're going to do that and not just promise them something that you can't deliver.
You could have done that, couldn't you? You found £10 billion to give to Mauritius to take the Chagos Islands off our hands. You found £13 billion a year more for defence spending. Not saying those were the wrong things, but this is about priorities. And you have found money for some things and you have chosen not to find money to lift a quarter of a million kids out of poverty.
Well, look, our spending review concludes on the 11th of June, which sets out public sector budgets for the rest of this parliament. As the Prime Minister has already said, our Child Poverty Task Force will be reporting in the autumn when we come into the budget period. We will announce our policies, set out how they're going to be funded and how they're going to be delivered, and then be held to account for delivering them. But all of our policies, whether it's about getting the NHS back on its feet and protecting public services, whether it's about getting control of our borders and the asylum issue, or whether it's about tackling the cost of living crisis and poverty in our country, these are our Labour priorities. Okay. We do have plans already to help tackle them, and we'll set out further detail later.
Finally, on the speech this morning, Keir Starmer, it's not a comparison, the Prime Minister will welcome, Keir Starmer telling LBC that he thinks that Nigel Farage has injected poison into our politics. What did he mean by that, Mr. Jones?
Well, I think it's clear, isn't it, from Nigel Farage and Reform, they're politicians of division. They like to try to rile people up by blaming other people as opposed to setting out how they might fix problems. And this was a classic example. You know, they haven't actually set out how they're going to pay for anything. They're just promising jam tomorrow, which is a risk to our politics.
Poisoning our politics. It's a serious allegation.
It's poisoning because you're promising people things that you know you don't know how to deliver. You should not be involved in democratic politics if you can't do the job properly. Nigel Farage and Reform are not doing the job properly. It's disrespectful to the British people.
And that's poisonous?
It does poison our democracy. Yes, because it undermines our democracy. It undermines what should be an honest debate about what the problems are, what you can do to fix them, when you can fix them. The public expect their politicians to do the job of being politicians, to go off and do the hard yards. That's what we get elected for. With Nigel Farage, you've got someone that barely seems to visit his own constituents in Clacton, let alone do anything useful.
But is Keir Starmer one to be accusing other politicians of being divisive 2 weeks after coming out and claiming that migration was turning us into an island of strangers?
No, he can call whoever he wants to be divisive if they're being divisive.
But Nigel is he Farage not being divisive too? Was his language about migration not clearly divisive?
Well, the speech he was making was about uncontrolled migration and what that means for people in their local communities. That is a different argument about controlling our borders and managing the flows of migrants, whether they're legal or illegal, coming into the UK. I mean, it's perfectly fine for the Labour Party to be talking about controlling our borders and controlling the flow of migrant labourers into the UK. We would expect that of any government. That's different to coming along, as Nigel Farage and Reform does, and saying to people, all of your woes are the fault of other people. I'm going to promise you I'm going to fix them. But by the way, I have absolutely no idea how I'm going to do it. That is a fraudulent approach to politics. And if you want to be taken seriously, you need to act seriously.
I want to ask you just finally, Chief Secretary, about the topic we're discussing this hour. In fact, Donald Trump, the court ruling that the tariffs that Donald Trump imposed on so-called Liberation Day were unlawful. As Chief Secretary of the Treasury, you won't be alone in governments across the world in quietly hoping, I'm sure, that the courts put a stop to President Trump's tariffs, will you?
Well, look, it was a court ruling in the United States as a domestic matter for the administration there. I'm not going to be giving a running commentary on
but,
it.
But you and the UK government, like all the other governments affected by those tariffs, would like to see the back of them.
Well, look, we worked really hard to get the deal over the line, the first country in the world to do so, to protect British jobs and British industry, which we did. Of course, this court ruling has now come down and we need to see how that's going to play out in the weeks ahead.
You'd like to see those tariffs lifted completely?
We don't want tariffs. We support free trade. We've been very clear about that. But as I say, it's a domestic matter for the United States, and we'll have to see how it plays out.
Appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you very much, Steve, for coming on. Darren Jones, Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Labour MP for Bristol North West. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. Coming up...
Condemnations are not the way to stop Israel, to stop the settlements, to stop the war.
The UK condemns the Israeli government's decision to announce and confirm 22 new Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank, the biggest expansion in decades. Bringing the details on that and the significance of it, straight after the news headlines, it's 5:45. Here's Amelia Cox.
53-year-old Paul Doyle has been charged with a number of offences, including dangerous driving, following the crash in Liverpool on Monday. A body has been found in the search for a missing teenage girl after reports she'd fallen from a dam in West Yorkshire. And US stock markets are up after a court in New York blocked most of Donald Trump's trade tariffs. LBC weather, patchy rain in central Scotland, North England and Wales tonight. Mostly dry elsewhere and breezy in the south, a low of 4 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Chawner. Starting on the M25, moving clockwise, there's still long delays at Junction 14 for the turn-off for Heathrow. That's because of an earlier broken down car. While on the M25 going anti-clockwise, delays heading into the Dartford tunnels, adding roughly 40 minutes onto your journey. In South Woodford, the exit slip road is blocked on the North Circular heading eastbound at the Charlie Brown's roundabout. That's because of a vehicle fire. While in East London, there are queues on the A13 eastbound between Prince Regent Lane and the Lodge Avenue flyover. Finally, looking on public transport, on the Elizabeth line, there's severe delays between Hayes and Harlington and Reading due to a track fault, and minor delays on the Bakerloo line due to cancellations.
LBC. At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
Call Ben Kentish, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
Getting ready for summer? It's time to scrub the barbecue, mow the lawn and dust off the wine glasses. At Waitrose, we're getting ready with 25% off six or more bottles of wine or fizz over £6. Like a fruity San Leo Prosecco, perfect with aged Parma ham. Or a crisp Whispering Angel Rosé, ideal for your first barbecue. And our number one Chablis, the aromas of fresh peach pair beautifully with a seafood salad. Start the summer with some great savings at Waitrose. Selected stores and lines, subject to availability. Excludes Scotland, boxed wines and bottles priced £100 and over.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
The British Red Cross is here to welcome people fleeing the conflict in Ukraine.
We're here to help people to safety when storms hit.
We're here to show anyone struggling that someone cares.
Hiya, that's a huge help.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on! Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about Pension Credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension Credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for Pension Credit on gov.uk. Pension Credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
5:50 is the time. The Israeli government today confirming that it will establish 22 new settlements in the occupied West Bank, settlements that under international law, according to the UN, are illegal. That is the biggest expansion of those outposts in many, many years. Let's talk about it more with Ahmed Najjar, Palestinian-British writer and director from Gaza. Ahmed, great to have you on the programme this afternoon. Your response to that announcement from the Netanyahu government?
It's obviously an extension of the war crimes that Israel is already committing in Gaza and elsewhere in the Palestinian territories. And the fact that they have announced, which is the biggest in the history of Israel, announcing at all at once. That obviously will result into more demolition of the Palestinian houses, more violence from the Jewish settlers against the Palestinians. And most importantly, that will be completely kind of write off the idea of Palestinians having their own state.
I wanted to ask you about that. Is this the sort of final nail in the coffin, do you think, of any hope of a Palestinian state being created anytime soon?
I think it might be. If the international community allowed Israel to carry on the way it is doing, it definitely is. And I don't see how the international community, particularly the US and the UK, are standing up for Israel and for its war crimes and genocidal acts in Gaza. I think what we're seeing, if Israel was stopped and held accountable for its genocidal acts in Gaza, they wouldn't be announcing such a plan in the West Bank. But because Israel is not being held accountable, then obviously they will be expanding more and more. Just today, for example, they have killed more than 55 people in Gaza, and that's just today, and killed one in Lebanon. And obviously for the last 600 days, that Israel has been killing hundreds and hundreds, tens of thousands of people in Gaza. You look at it, and of course, they want to stop. They will expand more and more. It's a radical government right now in Israel. And their aim is to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians, and their aim is to completely kill the idea of Palestinians having their own state. And then we just wonder what else can we do, because if they don't want us to have our own state, and they don't want us to be Israeli citizens, what else? What's going on? I mean, where else can we go? And that's obviously what they want, really. Where else can we go? What else can we do? And what we are seeing is that they are killing the Palestinians systematically for the last 70 years. Well,
but obviously they say they are trying to root out Hamas, which a lot of people say is a laudable aim, if the way they're going about it is very, very far from laudable indeed. I mean, as somebody who hails from Gaza, if it's not military might that is going to dismantle Hamas, and I think we've seen so far that it's failed to do so, how do we oust that terror group that is terrorising people in the place that you grow up in?
I think it's a very easy answer to this. End the occupation, give the Palestinians their rights, and they will not need any resistance groups like Hamas or else. And let's not forget that, it may be called Hamas now, and it was in the past, it was PLO and the PFLP and other groups that it will come up to resist the occupation.
But Hamas isn't going to disappear into the night. The sooner as Palestinians are granted more rights, they will try desperately to cling on to power. They will have to be dragged from power, kicking and screaming. So if it's not military force that does that, then how do we oust them from the position they hold in Gaza?
As I said, just give the Palestinians their rights and give them no need to resist. I mean, you consider...
But Hamas isn't... It's obviously not just a response to occupation. They are sworn to destroying the State of Israel. So even if there is a Palestinian state, they are not going to disappear.
That's not true, and that's only your opinion, and I don't think...
It's their own constitution, respectfully, says that they are committed to wiping the State of Israel off the map.
Okay, we're going to... Again, Ben, we've been here before, and you argued with me that Netanyahu is not a war crime before, is not a war criminal before, and now you're arguing about this. What I'm trying to tell you is, very clearly, the problem is not Hamas. The problem is the occupation. The problem is...
The problem is both.
No, it's not both.
You don't think Hamas is a problem?
What we know as Palestinians is what we see the need for resistance. And if you can
tell me... Is that how you see Hamas? As legitimate resistance?
Including Hamas, of course.
You see it as legitimate resistance?
It is. I mean, I disagree with Hamas, and I don't agree with what the way that they're going on. But there's very important issue here that the Western media hasn't been handled very well and hasn't been informing their audience very well, that the Palestinians are under occupation, illegal occupation, and have the right to resist. And therefore, if you want to oust Hamas and get it out of power, which is...
There's the right to resist, and then there is what happened on the 7th of October, and there is the repeated calls from Hamas for Jews across the world to be murdered, and there is the sworn destruction of the Jewish state, as Hamas calls it, from the face of the earth. That's not resistance, that is terrorism.
Hamas, when after they updated their charter, they haven't said any of that.
Right, but the 7th of October,
that was updated. That is not what Hamas says. I don't think you know what they say. I listen to their statements every time they come out and speak. I don't defend Hamas, just to make sure that I'm very clear about that. I have my own issues against them, and I have my own reservations against them, but... It's very important for you to be telling your audience what's actually out there. Hamas, after they updated their charter, you need to look at it. They don't call for any of what you said.
They have recently called for Jews across the globe to be targeted. They have recently carried out the biggest pogrom on Jewish people since the Second World War, since the Holocaust.
That's a big lie, Ben. I don't think you're right on that. I have not seen it anywhere, actually, that they said target the Jews anywhere in the world. I think that's really massively misinforming your audience.
It's not. The Hamas leaders came out about a year ago and called for that to happen.
That is absolutely... I have not seen it. I have not heard it. And after I've been monitoring the news very carefully and listened to Hamas statements, and they have never said such a statement. But it's very, very interesting that the focus for you when you talk to me is about Hamas, when actually Israel is currently committing the worst genocide in history.
You have Jews everywhere, and we must attack every Jew on the globe by way of slaughter and killing, if God permits.
Is that what did...
It's a senior Hamas official.
What's his name?
His name is Fatih Hamad.
I haven't heard that.
If that's the case,
this is not what we want as Palestinians to resist.
Okay.
Our resistance is very clear. We want to resist the occupation, and what we are saying here is that we want self-determination, and we want the resistance to be legitimate. And we have the right for that.
I appreciate your call. I'm just pointing out the difference between terrorism and resistance and targeting civilians versus targeting military infrastructure and so on. Ahmed, thank you very much indeed. Ahmed Najjar, Palestinian-British writer and director from Gaza. Ben Kentish here on LBC. It's almost 6 o'clock. Here are the headlines.
The Crown Prosecution Service has today authorised Merseyside Police to charge Paul Doyle.
53-year-old Paul Doyle is charged over the collision at Liverpool's Premier League title parade on Monday.
They're politicians of division. They like to try to rile people up by blaming other people.
The Prime Minister says Reform UK's policies would crash the economy in a speech attacking Nigel Farage.
If I see someone with a knife, I'm going to want one to protect myself, and then the next person, and the next person.
LBC finds the number of children being caught with knives in schools has risen 60% over 2 years. And
ordinary people see family intermarriage overall as something that is very positive.
A new poll reveals Pakistani and Bangladeshi Britons are most likely to support first cousin marriages amid calls for the practice to be outlawed. Should it be banned? That next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 6 o'clock, a local businessman and father of three has been charged over the crash in Liverpool on Monday. Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims from Merseyside Police has given this update.
The man arrested by Merseyside Police following the incident on Water Street has now been charged with 7 serious offences. Doyle has been remanded into custody and he will appear at Liverpool Magistrates Court in the morning.
The charges against 53-year-old Paul Doyle from West Derby include dangerous driving and causing GBH with intent. A car was driven into crowds during the city's Premier League victory parade, injuring 79 people, including a 9-year-old. Police searching for a teenage girl who fell into a reservoir in West Yorkshire have recovered a body. Emergency services were called to Bates.